So this evening we will hear a few words of encouragement from our Boundless Way senior Dharma teacher, Kate Hartlock. Kate.
Good evening. Tonight I want to tell you about my subway commute. I live in Weymouth, and I commute every day to work in Cambridge. It's about a 40-minute ride. And because when I get on at the far end of the line, I have all that 40 minutes to just sit there and ride, I use this time as my morning Zazen period. And thinking about it is actually pretty appropriate. If you think about a subway car, it has the two lines of people sitting on either side. They're not moving. They just come in and sit down, and their eyes are downcast. Nobody talks. And we ride along for like 20, 30, 40 minutes. And we go underground, and it's certainly a place where the dark underbelly of our human nature has a way of coming to the surface. And I can think of times when I've felt irritation at the person sitting next to me with whom I had not exchanged any words, simply because they had perhaps encroached a bit into my territory with their backpacks or knees or whatever, and had formed complete opinions about them by the time they had left. Sometimes interesting things extend this this sort of delusion of being in a zendo. Maybe it's not really a delusion, it's just a different kind. One time the announcement that is made as to what stop you're at, it broke. So instead of saying, yeah, what a surprise, instead of saying change here for the green line and for this and that bus, when the doors opened, it simply said, change here. And it would give you a moment to take advantage of that opportunity, and then the doors would close and it would go to the next stop and say, change here. It did that the whole way, and it was kind of wonderful. Well, as part of my of my ongo observance, I choose each year to listen to all of the talks. Thank you, Steve, for putting them up so promptly and managing all of that. It really means a lot to me to be able to have this little window into the what's going on in the temple, and to take part in that way. And so for a few of the mornings, I put a couple of the talks onto my phone and listened to them as I rode in, instead of doing the morning subway zazen. So about 2 days ago, I guess, I was listening to a talk. I think it was yours, David. Deeply wise, at any rate. And so I was had been riding for about 20 minutes and listening, and really getting on the Zen groove here, and deep into the wisdom. And but there was some commotion down at the far end of the subway car, and the earbuds that I was usually using are not very good, so I kind of pushed them deeper into my ear so that I could blot out the sound of whatever was going on down farther in the car, and continue to immerse myself in the Dharma. And but the commotion came toward me, and it looked to be a homeless man, perhaps asking for money, And so, you know, I kept listening and holding the earbuds into my ears, and he kept coming and making more noise. Does anybody have spare change? Anybody at all? Can you spare any spare change? And I felt so irritated. It's like, I'm trying to listen to this Dharma talk, man. and as he went by, I began to realize the strangeness of this situation. And I'm not sure, but I think maybe as he passed by, he said, "Wrong." He went down to the end of the car and then circled back again, and I was still listening, trying to blot out the messy life out there and just listen to the Dharma talk, for Pete's sake. And as he went by, again, I heard, "Wrong." It's interesting, this word "wrong," and how it hurt in one way. It can feel like a condemnation, an accusation, and everything closes down around it. We push it away. And hurt in another way, an invitation, an opportunity to have a look, and everything opens. What is it that makes it go one way or the other? So often it appears that what happens in macrocosm is reflected in microcosm. And so I think similar things go on when we sit in Zazen. And there's this tendency to prefer the Dharma wisdom, you know, the thoughts that arise that seem to ring true with the Dharma and are where we should be as we sit, and to not particularly appreciate and want to blot out those that are troublesome and messy and difficult, noisy. I came upon an interesting quote. I'm pretty sure it's Dogen, and I think I've got this right, that the mind cannot be defiled by its contents. If that's the case, then everything that arises in the mind falls into one bin, that of things which do not defile the mind. And so this seems like wonderful news. You know, we don't have to sift through everything that arises and determine what is suitable and what isn't, make judgments about it, and figure out where we are with it. We can enjoy everything that arises, undefiled. And if indeed everything in microcosm is reflected in macrocosm, I wonder if this is true in the case of that subway ride as well. Where did the wrong arise? There was a man asking for money. Maybe he got it. Maybe he didn't. It went one way or another. There was a woman listening to a talk. Maybe she noticed her aversion to all the noise. Maybe not. These are the things that happened. All of them fell into one bin, the things that happened. And I wonder, where is the room for judging there and sifting and turning one thing into wrong and another not? If there's only one bin, then maybe it's the bin of mistakes, mistake after mistake. Wouldn't that be a relief? We don't have to sort through it and figure out if we did it right or not. We can just know. No, it wasn't. So this is our invitation. Let us hear this wrong as an invitation. Let it be an opening rather than a closing. And then, are we done with it? Is that wrong?